Welcome, everybody, to the Cincinnati Bengals Weekly Show on the Grilling Truth Sports Network. As always, I am your host, Mike Goodpaster. Right now, I want to welcome in my guest, as always, and he better not say, "What's up, Bengals Nation," because that really annoys the shit out of me. Ty Robbins, how you doing, Ty?
Hooday, Bengal Nation. What's up? Hey, just excited about that last 3 days and what awesome picks we got. So we're going to talk about it and break it down, see where we got the best value at. So I'm excited about doing that.
All right. Joe Kelly cannot make it tonight. He is working on his 25th gala for Kelly Youth Services. He will be back on our next show. So we needed to bring a special guest in. And, I mean, who better than somebody, if you're with the Grilling Truth, you remember Sam. We won't hold it against him that he's a Steeler fan. But he did beat everybody picking. You know, even Daniel Jeremiah was fifth. Sam Teets was first. So help me welcome Sam Teets to the show. How you doing, Sam?
I'm doing great, Mike. It's good to be back. And I've kind of moved into the draft space being my main fit. And I was lucky in the draft. Came down to the final pick of the first round. We had a first-round mock draft challenge for the huddle. I ended up tying for first place, beating out big guys, all the big names, essentially. So
yeah, even Dan Kornhauser.
Yeah, including him.
Hey, Dan did finish top 30, though. So
no, he did actually. He did actually really well, honestly, for his first time. That's really good placement.
Yeah, and we have you on mainly not just because of that, but you also attended Clemson. So I figure when you look at the Cincinnati Bengals first-round draft pick, Miles Murphy, I figured you would have a little bit more info than most guys. I'll give you my concerns. My concerns are this. I think he seemingly regressed every year in college. The other thing was, I watched the Notre Dame game where he got totally destroyed. And when I watched that, I worry about his ability laterally, change of direction, making plays like that. I mean, he looks like a stud. But you know the old saying, looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane.
Yeah, with Murphy, what we're looking at, I don't know that he regressed year to year so much so as that he didn't get better. Let's put it that way. I know that there's been a narrative around regression. I don't think that was the case. I think he had more splash plays where he just finished with sacks as opposed to finishing with pressures. So I don't think there was much regression so much as he didn't improve to the extent that we were hoping for. This is a player people predict to be a top 10 pick in the summer. Potentially be an All-American, and he didn't get to that level. I think the big issue with him is that he did not expand his pass rush repertoire at all, really. It's still mainly just a push-pull move and a long arm. Now, he can work a lot of combos off of that long arm move because he has a hand and it's free. He's able to work off of that. He's able to work inside, outside. So there is stuff to develop there. But in terms of like the more nuanced pass rush sets, he doesn't have a lot to work with right now. You look at someone like a B.J. Ojulari from LSU in this draft class who has everything in his bag. And Miles Murphy doesn't have that right now. So I think the concern is that he has not developed his pass rush plan over the course of the past 3 years.
Yeah. Ty, what was your take on the Miles Murphy pick?
I can understand it, right? When you're looking at all your money, a lot of your money is on the offensive side of the ball. And Trey Hendrickson and DJ Reader and these guys' contracts are up. And really, you need more rotation on that side of the ball. When Henderson goes out, he plays a lot of plays. And if you could get somebody in there that can rush the, you know, the quarterback, put pressure on the quarterback, I can understand that pick. And, you know, he didn't have the year that he had when he was a freshman coming in, but he still had, you know, 18 sacks through his career in 6.5 last year. So he has the ability coached up, and he's only 21 coming into this to training camp. So he has a lot of upside, a lot of potential to rotate, and you can put him back in the B gap and play all of those guys. So I think, you know, under those guys, you don't have to throw him in right away. You put him in with rotation, and we'll see how he does, you know, midseason with the kind of competition that he's going to be facing.
Well, and to address Mike, some of your concerns with the Notre Dame game, that whole Clemson defense was awful in the Notre Dame game. And part of that, I do contribute to the fact that the defensive coaching and, frankly, the coaching staff in general this past year was not nearly what it was prior to that.
Well, yeah, Brett Venables wasn't there.
Yeah, yeah, losing Brett Venables is a huge hit. Everyone on the defense played worse this year than they did the previous year. Going to a defense with Lou Anarumo and some really good I mean, deep pieces across the entire line to support Miles Murphy would probably help him in the long run versus State.
I'm gonna pick, but my thought is this. I've watched the Bengals for the last 2 years not win a Super Bowl because of the offensive line. They still need a right tackle. They still need a guard. My pick would have been Osiris, the guard from Florida. To me, that is a bigger need that needs to be filled if you want to win a Super Bowl. Because teams that win Super Bowls, the Kansas City Chiefs won it this year because their offensive line, they upgraded huge from the year before. The Bengals upgraded. They had injuries, but there wasn't the depth there. The fact that you don't have the depth there, even if you've got five good guys, which they don't have five good guys right now. I mean, to me, Cordell Volson is just a guy and not a very good one. Jonah Williams has been a complete and utter bust. So you've still got two holes to fill, and they're going to fill them with the two guys that weren't good enough before. So I don't understand why you wouldn't take offensive line a little more serious, because this team seems like a couple offensive linemen away from winning a Super Bowl.
I believe that they looked at their options and where they were picking in the draft. They just didn't have those options. And the guys that were left behind, they felt they had better than, you know, when they went to the Super Bowl.
But they don't.
When they went to the Super Bowl, they had a below average line and still went to the Super Bowl. So what they've upgraded now is a lot better. And if you could just be average and a little bit above average, and I think at you know, somebody's going to rotate in and you know, in the ups and really complete that right side. And we still don't know heading into training camp if a trade's going to be done or somebody's going to be let go. So, I mean, we're still going to see that. But I think that somebody's going to have to step up because competition brings the best out of people. So we'll have to see. But I don't think they were willing to take a chance on something that they already got $20 million invested in and was better than what they have.
Yeah, but they have poor investments on the offensive line to some extent. You think about the guys that put money in. Lyle Collins has frankly never been healthy very often.
He's really a guard. He's not a tackle.
Yeah, I mean he hasn't been healthy enough. So Lyle Collins is probably money that you're gonna have to just flush down the drain. You have to admit that's not gonna work out. Jonah Williams, there's been some health concerns as well as the play's been up and down, very inconsistent this past year. Obviously, it was not acceptable from him from where he's playing. And you got Jackson Carmen and Cordell Volson, who are just guys right now on the roster that just kind of take him spots who flash every now and then, but have no level of consistency. So when you look at that offensive line, I am kind of perplexed as to why they didn't spend at least, I mean, not even one pick in the draft on the offensive line, which is a little surprising. And Osiris Torrance did have, by the way, a slight medical red flag, which is why he got to the bottom of the second round. But he went one pick before the Bengals. He went pick 59 to Buffalo. The Bengals sit at pick 60. He got a really good player in DJ Turner, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But if you were looking to get an offensive lineman, you would have had the shot there. You could have traded back in the first round, maybe gotten Steve Avila, the guard from TCU, who went 36 overall to the Rams. So you did have opportunities in the course of this draft to get linemen. You just opted to go with different players instead.
Yeah, and my point, Ty, is this. When you talk about those couple guys, if one gets hurt, two get hurt, and they're offensive linemen, almost every offensive lineman does, or every offensive line takes injuries. So even if you're going to keep Bolson there and Williams there or Jackson Carmen, that's six guys. That's not enough depth-wise. There's nobody else there that I can think of because Max Sharping, I mean, I would rather have Sam blocking for me than Max Sharping.
They didn't play that bad against Buffalo.
They didn't?
No.
Buffalo had no pass rush. Buffalo has no offensive line. Buffalo is a team that puts all their money on Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, and they're, other than that, they're not very good.
I get that, but they're good enough to be in the playoffs. So
fuck that. I don't want to be in the playoffs. I want to win the Super Bowl.
I do too, but my point is that Volson's going to be better this year. You know, he was a rookie going in, and he had Williams on his left side who, you know, problems, injuries. Hopefully he worked that out and feels better coming into the season. I think the line's going to be much better except for that. We'll see. You know, they say that Jackson Carmen came into training camp a lot slimmer, taking it serious. Maybe he's maturing a lot. And he did play not as bad. He's not. I'm just telling you.
He did not play not as bad. He was terrible. Sam watched him for years. He's what he is. He's a lazy kid.
Well, What are your other options? You have to go.
You could draft some guys.
We're not that. We're beyond that, though. We're beyond.
I know that is my issue. So, because I think this. I think the Bengals draft from second through seventh was as good as anybody had. I think they got a wide receiver that is going to be a stud. He will replace Tyler Boyd. I think you've got a running back that possibly replaces Joe Mixon right away. So I'm not killing their draft because I don't think Miles Murphy is necessarily a bad pick. I'm just saying this. You win football games up front, and mainly the offensive line more than anything, because the Bengals got no pass rush on Kansas City, right? And they still lost in overtime. The reason they lost that game was an ineffective offense that was caused because you couldn't block Frank Clark. And yet we're still going to go ahead and roll with the same guys that couldn't. I just don't understand.
You had three starters out too. I mean,
I don't care. You didn't have three. I mean, I don't care. I mean, have depth. Last year, they go out and they get a couple guys that are studs. And if you remember on this exact same show, I told you they didn't fix anything because guys get hurt. There's no depth. That's what happened.
Well, let me jump in here and just point out, like, I'm talking about depth on the offensive line. Look at Philadelphia. Look what the Eagles do with their offensive line. This year, they go out in the third round. They draft Tyler Stevens, the left tackle for Alabama. He's going to be a guard in the NFL. You add him to a roster right now. It has some aging players on it, but they do have a left tackle they have signed long-term. They've got arguably the best right tackle in football in Lane Johnson. You got Jason Kelce, either the best or second-best center. You lost guard Isaac Seumalo, but you have replacements on the roster in Landon Dickerson. You got Cam Juergens, who was the center you drafted last year who could play. And you went out and drafted a guard right again this year.
Hey, wait a second, guys. Robert Carter just told a joke. The Pittsburgh Steelers are the one going to take down Kansas City. Good joke, Robert. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I just can say, look at Philadelphia. Yeah, that's not going to happen. Kenny Pickett versus Patrick Mahomes is not exactly an even matchup. But I just say, look at the way Philadelphia's approached the offensive line. That's the ideal situation you want to be in when you're working with the offensive line. And I don't think the Bengals have done that at all. Pittsburgh, to be fair, Pittsburgh for years. I've been arguing Pittsburgh to get a left tackle or get help on the offensive line for years. And they finally look like they may be doing a little bit of that. But my teams don't take offensive line help seriously in the league, unfortunately. And it shows for the teams that are competitive, have good quarterbacks, and just can't pull it off. When the Chiefs got serious in the offensive line, they're suddenly back to being where they were 2 or 3 years ago. Same with Philadelphia. Philadelphia gets back to the Super Bowl with a new quarterback who is still developing because they built around the offensive line. And right now, Kansas City or Cincinnati has not done that so far.
You got to look at our track record, too. We don't have the best track record of drafting really good offensive linemen. So I guess their theory is spend the money or draft defense and pay on the line on offense proven linemen, because that seems to be a better option for them. I'm just saying.
Well, it's a better option when you've only got 8 guys in a scouting department and everybody else in the AFC North has 40 or more. So
they've had pretty good. You got to look at their
track. They have not. Their track record is terrible in the draft. I mean, you got Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. Yes, it is. In the last, let's pull up last year's draft, Ty. What do you got that you like? Dax Hill, what he played did not look great. And I'm going to get the same thing that I always get from every Bengal pick. Well, he's young. He's going to learn. He'll get coached up. They said the same thing about Cedric Ogbuehi. They said the same thing about, you know, Billy Price. They said the same thing about Jonah Williams. And really, the Bengals, Cam Taylor-Britt was a great pick. No doubt about that. But you got to have more than one or two great picks there. And I'm just saying, Joe Burrow is kind of a – there's probably nobody alive that doesn't pick Joe Burrow. And Ja'Marr Chase, to me, is a no-brainer. Let's get past that.
Logan, let's go on down the line.
Let's go on down the line. 2021 draft. What do you got? Hold on.
You can't go with Dax. You can't. They asked Dax to play 3 different positions last year.
They didn't ask him to play the position they drafted him at.
Well, they drafted him as a safety, but, you know, he's got to learn, like anybody. I don't know too many rookies that come in and just dominate. If you're Stephon Diggs or somebody, you just don't. Or a Gardner last year. I mean, those are far and few, and those are blue chippers at the very top. Am I right, Sam?
Well, you are right in some draft classes, but not all draft classes. You go back to You go back to like 2021. 2021, I think like 11 of the top 12 hits or picks or whatever were just phenomenal or something like that. But the way I view it, not every rookie comes in dominates right away, but you need to have a way to get them in roles where they can be successful. You can't overstress them as rookies if you feel like they're limited players. You have to find ways to to put guys in roles and find guys that fit what you're looking to do. I think they did a better job of that this year, considering the places they in a year or two need replacements for. I think they certainly look like they're planning ahead more this year than last year, because last year's draft class, for me, honest, was pretty scattershot, to say the least, especially in terms of like the talent you're going after and the roles you were trying to fill. Cam Taylor Britt was excellent, but outside of that, a little bit all over the place. This year, it seems like they have more of a plan. And frankly, I think they got much better value for the players they were picking at the spots they were picking.
Yeah, I don't feel they reached too much.
No, I don't think they reached on anybody. The concern to me is this. You win with offensive line. And like I said, the New England Patriots, you remember the year they lost in overtime, I think it was. They missed a two-point conversion at the end of the game. Their offensive line was terrible against Denver. Then they went out, they re-signed the guy who had left, the offensive line coach. They bring him back, you know, they draft a couple guys, and their offensive line is awesome, and there you go. And we got Dan says, you know, Sam, also known as Draft Mock Champ. Hey, look at this. Robert Carter is a typical Steeler fan. Last time I checked, Cincinnati Bengals, I have never won a Super Bowl. Yes, the Bengals nor you have ever won a Super Bowl. They good for about 2 or 3 years. That's cool. See, now, Sam, this is why I like Sam, because typically he's the only Steeler fan or one of like 3 Steeler fans I know that have any common sense at all. And Robert, thanks for the comment. But all right, so let's go on to better stuff here, because I still, you'll never convince me that, I mean, the Bengals draft 2 years ago was like one of the greatest drafts any team's ever had. Around that, there are some issues, and it's kind of scattershot. But this draft, to me, is much better, because when you look at pick number 2, DJ Turner from Michigan, the one good thing here, one other good thing is Wouzier, we don't know if he's going to play or not. He had an ACL. They're not really sure when he's coming back, but you got Cam Taylor-Britt, who was a hell of a pick last year. You match him up with DJ Turner. If Dax Hill turns out right here, Sam, DJ Turner and Dax Hill know each other very well. They've played together before.
Yeah, and DJ Turner is a hell of a player. He was highly underrated in this class, in my opinion. I had him 25th on my board.
Yeah, I think he's a dude that can start right away.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got him at 60. I have him 25th on my board. So I had him as a top 30 player right up there, like the Joey Porter Juniors of the world. So I think this is a guy who should see playing time very early and should play significant snaps for your football team. Just going down like the list of what I saw on him on tape, he's a superb athlete with elite speed. He's twitchy, he's quick, he's fluid. There's nothing, no stiffness in hips at all. He's always sticking at the top of routes throughout the entire course of the stem. He's a mirror match corner. And this is one of the best athletes overall in this entire draft class. And you got him, frankly, probably almost a full round later than you probably should have been able to get him.
Yeah. So
getting him at that point is fantastic. And look, he's battle tested. You go back to college, see who he played against in college. He played against Quentin Johnson, Marvin Harrison Jr., Emeka Abuka, who's still at Ohio State, Charlie Jones, who you drafted on later in this draft, Jaden Reed, who went to the Packers, Mitchell Tinsley, Parker Washington. He played against all these guys who are NFL prospects or going to play in the NFL. So, and he performed well in every one of those games. This is a player's battle test and is going to be probably a plug-and-play star for the Bengals.
Yeah, I think he starts right away. Ty, what do you think about the Turner pick?
I think it was a great pick. You know, they had to rebuild that secondary. Cam Taylor-Britt came in. You know, Awuzie, you don't know if he's going to start, but do you really want, you know, Eli Apple out there? So they had to go out and restock and get it cheaper and younger on that side of the ball. And I think with his speed is something that's going to really help us. When you look at some of the quarterbacks and receivers that we're going to face this year, we have to have speed in our secondary. And so I thought that was an excellent pick.
All right. Let's go to Robert real quick, but since he has a comment, the Pittsburgh Steelers office and their defense, both of them will be strong. They will be able to run the football and stop the run. Pittsburgh Steelers fan, thank you for the comment. Go ahead, Sam.
Now, I was going to say, going back to Awuzie, I mean, he only played 8 games in 2020, which is why he didn't sign a major contract to begin with, and he only plays 8 games this past year. So now, 2 of the past 3 years, you only played 8 games, and he's on an expiring contract. It's just to the point where you cannot count on this football player to make an impact for your team and be there in the playoffs. So you have to find someone you feel comfortable with being ready to start for you come playoff time. That's not named Eli Apple.
Yeah, And I mean, to me, I know Paul Sullivan has made a comment about Eli Apple, but yeah, Eli Apple, for what he has done here, hasn't been terrible. He just needs to shut up. He's a very average guy, and that's about it. Yeah. So if he's your fourth or fifth corner, you're fine. All right, next up, the Bengals took Jordan Battle. What's your take, Sam, on Jordan Battle? Because, number one, I like any DB that has been coached by Nick Saban.
Well, yeah, any DB that gets along with Nick Saban, which clearly Jordan Battle did during his time at Alabama, unlike his teammate Eli Ricks, who ended up being undrafted. But Battle, give a quick rundown. He played over 3,000 snaps in college football. So he's one of the most experienced players to come across in this draft class. For a player who's only in college football for like 4 years, he's 22 years old. So he's not one of these 24-year-olds who was in there forever. He's still a relatively young player. He's a steady vet. I don't think he has truly a very high ceiling, but he's got a very high floor. I think he's a plug-and-play potential star for you. I know that losing two safeties and the guys you brought in, Nick Scott, maybe you play him over Battle to begin with, but I think Battle is a good chance to steal a job from Nick Scott here. And you might even be able to get out of the Nick Scott contract after this year. I mean, there's only a $2 million dead cap hit for cutting Nick Scott out of this year if he doesn't contribute. I think Battle has a real chance to win that job and just make Nick Scott obsolete.
And real quick, Robert says he wants to give a shout-out to Indiana basketball. And Robert, just to let everybody know, Tuesday night, myself, Brian Moore, and Steve Risley will be back with the Indiana basketball show. Make sure you check that out. And tomorrow night, we will have a complete rundown of the NFL draft on the NFL show with myself and Dan Kornhauser, who I'm going to call number 29 from now on, since Sam smoked his ass. But Dan's newer to this than Sam is, so it's all right. All right, Jordan Battle, what do you think, Ty?
I thought when they were ready to pick that a lot of people thought they were going to go with a tight end, especially with all the tight ends still on the board. And when they made this pick, Twitter lit up about why, you know, they picked this guy. But then when you look into his background, and when Coach Taylor talked about it, coming from one of the best, high schools in Florida and competing there, and then he had to go to Alabama and compete there. And then you look at his resume, they said he was just an outstanding leader. You know, he had 252 tackles, 143 solos, and a 6.5 loss. So he can get after it. He can tackle. And you want those kind of leaders in your locker room. Talent takes you so far, but you have to have a great locker room. And they have one. And they just didn't want to bring somebody in that just doesn't fit that mold. So I think like Sam, I don't know if he starts at the very beginning. We'll have to see. But eventually, I think he's going to step up and play. And once again, all of these guys, are pretty fast in the backfield.
Yeah, and number four is Charlie Jones, the wide receiver from Purdue. This is the pick I'm excited about because, I mean, everybody talked about Joey Porter and Porter goes to Pittsburgh, but the game I watched them play against each other this year, Charlie Jones abused him. I think he had like 12 or 13 receptions for like 160 or 70 yards. Sam, am I overrating this? Or to me, this looks like a kid that can play inside or outside also.
Yeah, Jones is an interesting evaluation because you watch him on tape and there are a lot of games where the production is kind of schemed to some extent. He's getting a lot of short targets. There's a lot of low average depth of targets that's getting him open looks. That being said, I think he's more of a slot receiver. I wouldn't play him outside personally. I think he is too.
I just mean if somebody gets hurt, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I think he also has punt return and kick return ability. He's a smooth linear athlete with quick feet. He actually wins a surprising number of contested catches. He's not a big dude. But he's a really good job. He does a really good job of body positioning, getting the guy, defender on his back, boxing him out, and making sure he can come down with the football. So he's got good ball skills, quick footwork, really good at sinking his hips to execute sudden cuts in his route tree and create separation that way. He also mixes tempo and uses double moves to create separation. And he's really natural at finding holes in zone coverage. So I think this is a player who you view ideally as a long-term replacement for Tyler Boyd. I don't think he's going to ever be a 1,000-yard type receiver player. Although with Joe Burrow, you never know because Joe Burrow can certainly raise the ceiling of those kind of players. But I do think this is someone who will fill Tyler Boyd's production pretty easily.
Yeah,
by his second or third season.
That's the great thing about it too, because chances are Tyler Boyd, after this next year, is not coming back. You have his replacement right there, Ty.
Yeah. And you got to look at his production his last year. He had 1,300 receiving yards, 12 touchdowns, and he ran a 4.43 40-yard dash. I think his you know, claim to fame, as Sam already talked about, is he runs great routes and he always finds a way to get open. And when you look at his highlights, he catches a lot of long balls down the field, right? He can catch those short passes over the middle, maybe third downs to help you, like Tyler Boyd, but he can also stretch the field and catch those passes, which is going to, you know, present a problem for some of these defenses if, you know, Joe Burrow can find a rhythm with him. And I think he will. So we'll see as they go into this preseason how he does.
All right. So I want to get Ty's take on Chase Brown, running back out of Illinois, because I think I watch a lot of Big Ten football because we do all the Indiana stuff. I think he was one of the five best running backs in the country that were in this class. So it would have shocked me he went this low, but we all know running backs seem to get devalued a little bit. Hey, just hold on. This Robert Clark guy, damn. Cincinnati fan needs worry about keep their quarterback healthy. Thank you for the comment, Steeler fan. And we've got Joseph Michael, who says, Mike Ty, it's a good thing you all have Sam on tonight. At least one of you know what you're talking about. Hey, Joe, why don't you go back and do your little NASCAR show and be quiet right now. But go ahead. And the more I've been thinking that, you know, it may be more fun to just do a Pittsburgh Steeler fan show because, yeah.
I'll tell you, I liked Chase Brown coming out. I watched his highlights early. I thought he had a great, great skill of, you know, eluding the first tackler. He puts his foot down. He can change directions very quickly. He has the speed. And he can get after it. And, you know, I kept talking about Chase Brown. But then everybody else in, you know, Bengal Nation media were talking about Gibbs and Robinson and some of these other Spears and all these other guys. But I'm like, you're overlooking this guy who's pretty tough. You know, he one of the best running backs, I thought. He had 13 touchdowns and ran a 4.43. 40-yard dash, and he led all of the running backs with the vertical jump, so he can also get up and get after it. So he can catch. Now, is he the guy that's going to block in the backfield like Piron and take his spot? I'm not sure yet, but that's something you could, well, you know, if he's got the heart for it, we have to train him. But he does have the skill and the explosiveness, something we've been lacking. You get out to the – if he gets out to the outside and these guys can block, he can get some yards. And I think that's going to put some stresses on defenses that have to play us and are playing too high to cover our top receivers. And now you've got Brown who can make people miss. And if he gets a lot of yards after catch, that's even a plus. What do you think, Sam?
Yeah, I think you hit a nail on the – head there for a lot of stuff. I was actually down at the Senior Bowl. I got to see Chase Brown in person. I even got to speak with him a little bit while we're down in Mobile together. And he is an elite linear explosive athlete. And he's got more wiggle than I think people give him credit for. You mentioned being able to make the first guy miss. He's excellent at getting his foot in the ground, being able to make sharp cuts, make the first guy miss. Usually gets past two or three guys before he gets brought down. And he's not a big back in terms of the weight he carries. But you look at him and his brother, Sydney, who was drafted by Philadelphia. There's not an ounce of fat on those guys. Those guys are like pure weight room warriors. They're both former all-state sprinters in high school. And Chase Brown's a guy who really does a good job making at least one or two guys miss every play. He's got good contact balance, really nice vision to find cutback lanes. And he's got enough lateral bounce to survey multiple gaps in the backfield before finding a place to fire through. And does a good job getting to his top speed quickly. So overall, there's a lot to like with him. And I'm a little surprised he lasted as long as he did. He wasn't terrific at the Senior Bowl, which they contributed to it a little bit. He's got some fumbling issues. He has some drops when he's trying to catch passes. He's not great in pass pro. But in terms of like the pure athlete that he is, yeah, I think this guy could be your lead back in rotation eventually.
All right, round six, another wide receiver from Princeton. This guy, Andre, we'll just call him Andre. But he's a big wide receiver, 6'3", 200 pounds, big target. Was a all-first-team All-American at the 2022 indoor track and field championships, which really means nothing to me because they don't hit each other or wear pads. What do you think, Ty?
I watch his highlight film too as well, and he has a way of going up for, you know, fighting for the catches, and I think he does a job of working the sidelines really well. So when they didn't go for a tight end, maybe they do a hybrid kind of thing. They've already got their tight ends and Sample and Asiasi to block him. So maybe they, you know, put him on, you know, tight end and just let him go out like they would have with like a Sam Porter or something.
Well, see, I think the problem with the Bengals is the fact that they don't value tight ends at all. And yeah, he comes from Sam McVay, and it's hard to win football games that way. I'm sorry, but between the Patriots and Chiefs have had the two best in the last 20 years. They've won half the Super Bowls. Ty, what do you think about the kid from Princeton?
I
already asked you, yeah. Sam. And we have a question for Paul Sullivan. He wants to know, do you think this is Higgins' replacement after two-ish years?
Well, I think it's a hedge towards that, but I don't think you're going to get that with Andre Yoshidas. He's a good player, but not that level of player. If you watch some of his All-22, he does a good job in terms of having build-up speed to threaten defenses vertically, but he's playing against like Brown or Howard, like these schools that are he's not playing against NFL defenders, let's put it that way. And there are times where he doesn't get enough separation against guys who are not going to touch the NFL field. He was down at the Senior Bowl. He looked like he belonged, but he didn't dominate. This is a player who I expect is going to be playing
special teams
football.
Player.
Yeah, a teams player essentially who will be seeing some rotational snaps. And year two, year three, I think you'll see more of him. But right now, he's still a developmental player. I thought there were some chances.
Oh, my God. I can't help it. And I didn't ask this, but here we go. This is from Steeler fan Robert again. I will send Cincinnati fans to know this. We have somebody for your number one wide receiver. His name is Terry Porter. And I'll give you, Terry Porter was a hell of a guard for the Trailblazers back in the 90s. He played at Penn State. He will be defensive rookie of the year. But the problem is this. He couldn't even cover what will now be the Bengals' probably fourth receiver who played at Purdue and Charlie Jones, who completely bitch-slapped Porter. By the way, Terry Porter Jr. is Joey Porter Jr., Steeler fan. Go ahead, Sam. I couldn't make this shit up. This is good stuff. Go ahead.
No, Yosavas is, again, like I said, 2 or 3 year developmental project who is going to be on the back end of the roster player, and maybe year two, year three makes an impact, but you're still like, you're just betting on size and speed essentially. And that will mold into something.
Yeah. I love Steeler fans though. Here, I mean, this is a Steeler fan I met not too long ago. There was a Steeler party, and there you go. There they are. That's your Steeler fans. Sorry, Sam, but Robert, yeah, go IU, and we'll see you Tuesday night on the Indiana Basketball Show. He takes it well. All right, number 6 round. I like this because last year we had Drew Crispin who replaced Kevin Huber in the middle of the season. He was inconsistent, most notably very bad in the AFC Championship game. Robbins is a kid I've seen a lot. I know the big thing, no touchbacks. You have to like this pick, right, Sam?
Yeah, anytime you can upgrade over special teams. There was a lot of special teams guys drafted this year, which tells you it was a good class and also tells you the state of special teams play in the NFL is not very good right now. They're looking to find replacements. And I think it's a good job. Anytime a team takes a shot, just upgrade special teams instead of getting complacent. I think that's always a smart move. So get up on the Bengals for taking a nice job of actually addressing a need.
Yeah, and I think as long as he can hold, he's the starter. What do you think, Ty?
I agree. If he, you know, punter last year killed us, Drew Christmas, I was excited. He came out of Ohio State.
I was too.
He was booting the ball. And then, you know, he got in the games where I was worried about him and Adamitis catching, you know, working for Evan Money Mac. And he got that down in tough situations. So I was like, oh, this guy's going to work out. And then he just on the second half just was not getting any hang time, you know, in the Kansas City game that killed us, that field position that he gave. So I always believe in competition. Makes the cream rise to the top. And, you know, and plus, if he is good, then I can go out and get a Robbins Bengals jersey.
Yeah, so I guess you're not related. No. All right, round 7. DJ Ivy. Tell me about DJ Ivy, Sam. I don't know a lot about him. I know you covered the draft more than I do. So what's your take on DJ Ivy?
Yeah, DJ Ivy was a player who I really wasn't expecting to get drafted, but he's an overall good athlete. Didn't necessarily stand out when I watched Miami earlier this year. I watched Miami to watch Tyreek Stevenson in the other corner. Ivy didn't really stand out, but I think he's a good shot late in the round here because he did have some good ball production this past season. He's a good overall athlete, and he's going to be a special teams player. He's not going to be taking defensive snaps for you, but overall I think he'll fill that role well.
Yeah, but you know what? If you get your guys rounds 4 through 7 or 5 through 7 and they make the team of special teams players, that makes it a good pick.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And especially I always say when you have those late round picks, go for positions that have a lot of value. Like take a defensive end, take a receiver, take a corner. And what happens if it hits, if this guy plays 300 defensive snaps for you and he's a solid player, that's a massive hit for a 7th round pick. So there's nothing wrong with taking shots like this on guys like DJ Ivy.
And real quick, before we wrap this up, I'm going to ask you about a few undrafted free agents. One I don't know much about. One that I think could be a sleeper. The one I don't know about is Jalen Moody. What's your take on Jalen Moody?
Oh, the linebacker from Alabama?
Yeah.
He didn't really stick, honestly. I watched him very early in the season. Because I was thought, you know, Alabama linebacker, there's always hype around those guys coming out. And I had him a UDFA the entire way. I don't think this is really a player who has the athleticism to play coverage that much. You want to be a downhill thumper, he can do that. But if you're asking him to do man coverage or deep zone drops, he's just not going to have the athleticism to pull that off. And frankly, even like the run fits, the football IQ, the diagnosing the play, mid-play, and making the right fit, that wasn't particularly jumping off tape either. So overall, I think he's kind of trending away from what the teams are looking for and is probably going to be like a practice squad guy.
All right. Now, the guy that I actually have some interest in here, because I was bitching about guard before, is Jackson Kirkland. Now, I think he's a little bit of a tweener between a guard and a tackle, but he's a guard here. Big dude. He's got the frame of a tackle. He was a high performer at the college level, but I know he doesn't really fit perfectly at offensive tackle or interior offensive line. He was a bit too inconsistent with his technique, and he lacks a few of the athletic traits that guys want in the NFL. What's your take on him, especially when you go into it knowing what the Bengals' offensive line is, where there's not much depth?
Yeah, that's a good addition. I think he'll make the team. I know he was at one point viewed as a highly touted left tackle prospect. They transitioned him inside the guard this year. I know he had an injury at the very end of the 2021 season. I'm not sure how that factored into the medical reviews for these kind of players. But Kirkland is a lighter player, admittedly. I think he's just over 300 pounds. I don't know if he has much room on his frame to add more weight, but he's a solid performer. You go watch Washington, and he's still probably the best offensive lineman they had this past year, despite playing guard, not playing tackle. So I do think this is a player who has a really good shot to make the roster, though. I think he could be taking snaps this year, especially when you consider like it's Cordell Volson, it's Jackson Carmen, potentially in that left guard role. I think Jackson Kirkland has a good chance to take some reps from those guys.
Yeah, because I think Jackson Kirkland is better than Volson. Because when I watch him, though, I think this also kind of he fits certain schemes he doesn't. I think if you have like a wide zone running scheme, he doesn't fit that. I think offenses that mix in a lot of quick passing play action that allow him to kind of jump set defenders, I think would be to his strength.
Hey, Sam, what about the tight end? And I'm going to butcher his last name, but it's Christian Tyhan from Houston. He's 6'3", 245, tight end. Did you get to see him at all?
No, I didn't. I didn't actually watch him. I did full reports on 223 players this year, and I watched about 350 guys. He was not one of the ones I watched because there was about 15 to 16 tight ends I would have ranked above him in this year's class, so he was not one of the guys I got to.
Yeah. He was just undrafted free agent. I just didn't know if you knew something about him. He's
good. Yeah. Out of all of them you signed, if one or two make the roster, that was pretty damn good. But yeah. I think when I look at this, I think Jackson Kirkland is a guy that will make this roster.
Yeah, I will say it was a good undrafted free agent class. Like you go down the list of names, there's a bunch of guys who have a lot of talent. But I think we're probably hoping not to get picked in the 7th round so I can sign those UDFA contracts.
Right. Hold on. Steeler fan made a comment. Cincinnati record will be this year 8 wins and 9 losses. What would you like to bet, Robert? I will do this. If the Bengals have a losing season, the first playoff preview show that we do this year, or the first, you know, like wild card preview show we do after the season on the NFL show, I will do the show naked.
Oh, God. Come on, Bengals.
Yeah, because, Bengals. I mean, you like girls, so you don't want to see me naked. But you know, if you was a girl, you'd be down for this.
I don't know.
It's not. You want me to show you real quick?
Gonna make me root for the Bengals.
Shedrick Jackson, the wide receiver out of Auburn, he's related to Bo Jackson. He's also an drafted free agent. I was wondering. No.
Yeah, he's not very good. He's not going to make the roster.
Dan said,
watch him. He's not going to make the roster.
Dan said, yeah, but that's fine because you know what? I don't really want guys wanting to see me like that. All right, hold on. Robert Carter says, no, you give me 2 basketball tickets to Indiana basketball game. I want to know this, though, Robert. What do I get if the Bengals do have a winning record?
Yeah,
I'm not one of these guys that, you know, just, you know, throw something out there. What are you offering, Robert?
You got to send us a picture wearing a Bengal gear.
No, that's
no, weird. Not that. That's not worth 2 tickets.
Yeah, oh, come on. 2 tickets in Indiana basketball game? Yeah, he wants tickets. To an Indiana game where the tickets are hard to get. So I'm waiting for Robert to tell me what I get. I will donate some money to a charity to help to feed the poor. No, donate a charity. I'm a charity. All right. You donate money to me and we'll do that. I mean, what charity you want to donate it to? Because most charities, most of the money doesn't go to the charity anyways. We need to think of a good charity. Here, you can donate the money to my high school football team. It's a Christian homeschool team. It's nonprofit. You can even get a tax, you know.
You could send the money to the Joe Burrow Foundation. They help a lot of people.
Nah, Andy Dalton.
There's some options.
The Andy Dalton Foundation. Now, I mean, Andy, and that's not to be a joke, Andy does a lot of really good stuff no matter where he goes. And, I mean, the Cincinnati Bengals, the thing about them is they've had some of the classiest quarterbacks in NFL history. You know, Kenny Anderson, Andy Dalton. I'm not saying anything negative about Boomer and them, but Kenny Anderson, hey, there you go. Let's make the money. You give us $100. To the Kenny Anderson, I think he does it for autism. It's the Ken Anderson Rocks Foundation or something in that tie?
I'm not sure.
There you go. You get 2 tickets to IU basketball game if the Indiana or if the Bengals go under 500. But if the Bengals go over 500, you donate $100. Just donate $100 to the Kenny Anderson Foundation for autism. So that would be a good bet. Don't you think, Sam? That sound good?
That sounds good. And now it's on the internet, so it lives forever.
Yes, it does, unless we delete it. Shit doesn't go right. Yeah. But all right, guys, we're going to go ahead. I want to remind everybody this. You can follow us on Twitter at Grueling Truth. Make sure you watch us. We're now back on Spotify and iHeartRadio and all those as we got that straightened out. Wait, Robert says he'll dance naked. You can tell he's a Pittsburgh Steeler fan. Damn it, Robert. He'll dance naked for 2 IU tickets.
Let's not do that.
No. You no. Probably got a better chance to find me, Robert. Dance naked, and I'll give you 2 tickets to put your clothes back on. But, all right, and make sure you check out our top-rated sportsbook to bet on for the NFL season at BetMGM. That'll be in the link in the description below in the video. Sam, you got anything before we wrap it up?
No, but if you're interested in checking out some of my pre-draft analysis, checking out some of the draft reports I did for those 223 players, you can go check out my Twitter. It's at Sam_TEETS33 on Twitter. And you can get, it'll be linked towards the top of the page, and you can just go through my feed. You'll see all the links to my newsletter where I have all those Twitter draft profile and breakdowns.
All right. Give them that tweet again.
Tweet again.
Give them that tweet again.
Yeah, that's at Sam_TEETS33 on Twitter.
All right. Ty, anything before we wrap it up?
And if you want to follow my draft picks and the things that we've covered during the draft, you could go to Ty's Take on Facebook, and I'll have all the information there.
All right. All right, guys. We will be back at some point with another Cincinnati Bengals show. Probably here in the next couple of weeks. We'll get Joe back on with us. But I want to thank everybody. Listen, Robert, Dan, everybody that chimed in. Paul, Joe, thanks for watching. And for now, I'm Mike Goodpaster. For Sam Teets, Ty Robbins, you've been listening and watching The Grueling Truth, where the legends speak.